Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
He is the president of your Cleveland Indians, soon to be the Cleveland Guardians, Chris Anthony. Chris, have you tried to start getting used to the new name yet? Like, are you using it?
I have started to get used to it. I'm not quite to the point of using it yet. We'll fully transition to that after the season here. But I've gotten used to it, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I like the name. I know there's been some criticism there was going to be no matter what you picked, but. I actually think it's a really good name, and I think it's a good job that the organization decided to make this decision.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you. I know it's certainly not an easy decision to arrive at first, to move away from the Indians, and then the very complicated and arduous process of sorting through almost 1,200 names to get to the Guardians. But we're thankful that we were able to do that and are excited about the path forward.
Chris, let's talk about the latest on Terry Francona. Anything new in the last couple of days on where he's at physically?
So Tito had hip surgery on Monday at the clinic, and he's in the process of recovering from that now. He'll have go through an extensive rehab that's associated with the hip replacement, and then the next step will be for him to take care of his toe. And that will also require a surgery, and hopefully once that's done, then he can just exclusively focus on rehab and getting healthy and back to full health.
Chris, have you guys had conversations about the long-term prospects of him coming back?
I think the focus right now is just on him getting healthy. And then over the next few weeks and few months, we'll have a chance to do that. I know Tito, as he shared in the, with the media the other day, that he continues to have the passion and desire to do the job. It's just right now his health wasn't allowing that to happen. So we wanted to make sure we took the first step was let's work to get Tito healthy, and then let's reassess things from there.
Maybe I'm just reading into it, Chris. I mean, I might have it wrong, certainly possible, but I just sensed a different tone this time from Tito. I feel like in the past, when he's talked about his health issues, it almost seemed like the way he was talking was a foregone conclusion that he would be back at some point. I don't know. Just the way he talked the other day, it sounded a little different, like he realizes that maybe this time he can't or maybe shouldn't come back. I don't know. Is that crazy?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, he's been through a lot. Tito is one of the toughest guys that I know. In fact, I know I could not have dealt with all of the things that he's dealt with. I mean, the fact that he was in a boot for over 6 months, not only how uncomfortable and awkward that is, but the impact it has on your, because you kind of compensate for it. So it affects your knees, your hips, your back. In fact, I think the doctor, when he went for his most recent checkup after we determined that he's going to move forward with the hip surgery and then the toe surgery, was like, "Oh, I'm not surprised. I didn't expect you'd be able to get out of spring training. No one could be in a boot for as long as you've been." So, if that gives you some indication of just how uncomfortable it's been for Tito over the course of the last few months, it's remarkable that he made it this far. And I think he recognizes just how beat up his body is, and he and we are hopeful that he'll be able to have a full recovery and get back to full health. But he knows that that's going to take some time.
Last year, Chris, when Tito wasn't there, Sandy Alomar Jr. took over. This year, DeMarlo Hale, who's new, obviously, for you guys this year. Why did DeMarlo get the call instead of Sandy this time?
In talking with Tito, we felt that would be the most seamless transition for this season. DeMarlo had served as the bench coach for Tito this year and was very familiar with how Tito ran the game, the things he liked to do, how he managed. And so it was just a natural transition for him to slide into that role. And as importantly, it allowed Sandy to continue to serve as first base coach, where he makes a tremendous impact with our, on the bases, but also with our base runners and also as our catching instructor. So we felt this would be the most seamless transition.
Chris, how has the clubhouse responded to the loss of Tito?
Well, I think the first and foremost reaction is like ours is just out of care and well-being and,
right,
hoping he's okay. And that's the first sentiment everybody has. And then obviously everyone misses him because he's such a presence in the clubhouse and the way he leads, and whether it's his intensity, his competitiveness, his humor, all of those things will be missed. But at the same time, as I mentioned, we're fortunate to have such a great staff around him that can absorb those responsibilities and help fill some of that void. And no one can replace Tito, but we're fortunate to have a capable staff that can, pick it up and still carry us forward and hopefully allow us to get the most we possibly can out of the last 2 months of the season.
Chris, from a pure baseball standpoint, obviously Terry Francona is a future Hall of Famer. You'd love to have him back, but because of his health, because of his age, maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe it's uncomfortable, but do you almost have to start compiling a list of candidates for next year? Just because, it seems like you might have to do that, dude. Is that something that is the case?
We're not at that point yet. Again, I think we want to take one step at a time, and there's a lot of time between now and next season. And so we'll gain a lot more information over the next few weeks and few months. And, Tito and I and other leaders throughout the organization and ownership will have a lot of conversations during that time as well and plan what we think makes the most sense for Tito and what makes the most sense for the organization moving forward. But the most important thing right now is getting Tito back healthy, and that's where we're focused.
We're talking with Indians president Chris Antonetti. Chris, when you guys traded Cesar Hernandez to the White Sox, some fans called and said, well, how do you trade him within the division? And I said, first of all, who cares? It doesn't matter. Ultimately, you get the best deal you can get. But my point on that day was also, well, I was like, well, I don't think the White Sox are going to pick up his option because they got Nick Madrigal, and he's their second baseman, and he's going to be healthy next year. Well, of course, they've traded Nick Madrigal. Were you thinking they might not pick that up, or is not that not even on your radar in terms of making that deal?
Well, I think the first part of the question/answer there was exactly right, that we felt we had to make the best trade that made sense for us. And in the end, we felt trading him to the White Sox for Connor Pilkington made the most sense. We also knew that, if they didn't acquire Cesar Hernandez, they were pretty set on improving their position player team. And as we saw, they were very aggressive in the pitching market. So if it wasn't Cesar Hernandez, it very likely would have been a different second baseman. So, as we looked at that, we felt, kind of reinforced our belief that we needed to do what was in our best interest and do the best deal for us that made the most sense. And that's what we did.
Were you surprised they traded Madrigal?
To some degree. I mean, we like Nick Madrigal as a player. We've had a chance to see him up close and personal a number of times. And, he's a really good hitter that doesn't swing and miss very much, puts the ball in play and plays good defense. But right now he was not active and wasn't set to be active. And I think the White Sox are, really looking to try to give themselves a chance to win a World Series. And to their credit, they went out and improved the team and were willing to give up some future value to do that. And oftentimes teams are reluctant to do that.
When you traded away Eddie Rosario, obviously that's to clear some salary and to clear a space, because obviously you cut Pablo Sandoval, as part of the deal, not surprising. I was a little surprised, though, that, if you're creating space, I know you brought in Miles Straw, and we'll get to that, but Daniel Johnson goes right down to the minors. I would have thought he'd be one of the guys that we want to see get some at-bats.
So we had to work through, that was one of the challenges we had, is the number of outfielders and corner players we have on our roster to get at-bats. When you look at DH, there's very, Framil's going to get almost all of those at-bats with the exception of the days he, may step into the outfield to give somebody else a rest. So we really don't have DH at-bats to allocate. We've got Bobby Bradley and Now Owen Miller or others at first base. And so we're really looking at three outfield spots. And we felt with Miles Straw, Bradley Zimmer, Alex Mercado, and Harold Ramirez, those four guys would be the first four to get that opportunity. But that helps explain why we felt we needed to kind of clear up some of that space, because we do have some additional guys we'd like to see, and Daniel Johnson being one of them. And my expectation is that you'll see Daniel back with us at some point before the end of the year.
Chris, did you guys field any calls for Jose?
I'm not going to go into the specifics on, you know, on individual players other than the transactions we've completed. But I think, you know, like anything this time of year, there are a lot of ideas exchanged. And, you know, I'd say that if you're a good player that's contributing at the major league level, or if you're a very good minor league prospect, your name has come up somewhere along the way in trade conversations.
How could it not? I always find it weird when I hear people say, well, oh, that guy's got to be untradeable. And obviously it would take a lot for you to trade Jose Ramirez. He's a great player on a team-friendly deal. But I would think it would be irresponsible of a GM or a president to not at least listen on any player. Is that fair?
I think I'm going to have you just do my interviews and answer the questions for me. You've been spot on with all of your impressions so far, at least 80% of it, I'd say.
All right.
Yeah, that's exactly how we look at it.
Yeah, I mean,
I would find it
open.
More problematic, honestly, if teams weren't calling us on our guys.
Sure.
That's a problem, right? That means we don't have players that are of interest to
other
teams.
That's
true. We're talking with Chris Anthony. Chris, you mentioned, you referenced Miles Straw there. He's the one major leaguer you get back in the few trades you made the other day as part of a trade for Phil Maton going to Houston. Talk about what he brings to this team.
Yeah, Miles is a guy that we've looked at for a number of years and tried to acquire in various different deals along the way. We feel he can impact the game in multiple ways, primarily with his legs, both defensively and on the bases. And we've seen that in the handful of games we've had him already. And on the offensive side, we think he's a guy that's good. He's got a good feel for the strike zone. He's got a sound swing. He's going to put the ball in play and does a good job of getting on base. So the combination of the ability to get on base, take extra bases when he's on base, and play a great defensive center field were attributes we thought made sense to acquire. And again, we've seen those in the handful of games we've had him. I think you've gotten a taste for some of what he brings to the table.
Chris, do you guys have any ongoing extension talks with whether it be Jose or some of the young pitchers on the squad?
Yes, certainly appreciate the question. But again, we'll continue to refrain from commenting.
You just dance around all my questions, Chris. You just keep dancing around my questions.
I don't think he's dancing. He tells you he's not going to talk about it.
I know. I got to ask the question.
That's what I said. I appreciate people have to ask. I understand that's you doing your job, but I've not yet found it constructive in any instance in the past to talk about discussions with players. So
I get it.
I will say, as a general guideline, though, we typically do not have conversations within a season, because we found oftentimes that ends up being a distraction for the player because they're never short or quick. And then having contract discussions, understandably, can hang over someone's head and distract them from the work that's in front of them. So, again, without saying anything about a specific player, I would say generally we typically avoid contract negotiations during the season for those reasons.
All right. Chris Antonetti with us, Indians president. Chris, did the upcoming offseason and the negotiation in terms of the CBA and I hope I'm wrong, but the first real chance of a work stoppage in a very long time for baseball – do you think that factored into any of your decisions or any of your colleagues' decisions around the league?
It would be hard for me to speculate on our colleagues' decisions.
Yeah.
But I think our decisions have been, how do we continue to position the team for success moving forward? And that starts with bringing in and building a nucleus of really talented players and then building around them. And I think we've been able to reposition our team where we are now one of the youngest teams in baseball, and we feel we're really talented at the major league level and also have some depth in the minor leagues behind that. And that sets us up to go into the offseason to be flexible and find opportunities for us to continue to build and build from where we are. So our planning right now is we're planning to have the best major league team we can in 2022. Now, if we have to pivot because, you know, there's a work stoppage or because there's a different economic system, we'll pivot. But we have the flexibility to do that, because I don't think they're going to start taking players away from our system in the new CBA or take players away from our major league team. And, you know, that's really what we're focused on, because we've got a really good group of players.
Chris, the current system of arbitration and, you know, the fact that the teams will hold back guys to try to get that seventh year, even though nobody, like, talks about it publicly, we know it goes on. And to me, this is bad for baseball. It's bad for the players. It's bad for the teams. And I'm sure these conversations, I'm not the first one to bring this up, but, like, I don't know the perfect number. That obviously would have to be figured out. But I always thought it would make sense, instead of having this, like, once he comes to the big leagues, we get 6 years. Why not make it, when I draft a guy, I got him for, if he's a high school player, say 9 years. Again, don't get bogged down in the specific number, but, or if it's a college player, I get 7 years. Or if it's a, you know, a foreign-born player who signs at 16 years old, I get 10 years, or whatever it might be. Like, if we did it that way, then there's none of these games about, like, when a guy's ready, we're just going to bring him up. Would that make sense without getting, you know, every last detail? Is that something that could work?
So I guess I would be careful about getting any specifics. What I would share is that everything's got trade-offs. No system is perfect.
Sure.
Are there opportunities to improve our current system? I'm sure there are, and we'll spend quite – I know the leaders within the commissioner's office and the Players Association will spend a lot of time talking through what those options will be. But with respect to your specific question, again, I have no idea how likely that would be, but you can see that there are even some trade-offs as you say that. Well, at that point, you're shifting the interest of teams to just get guys to the major leagues as quickly as possible, and I think there could be a reasonable – question is that necessarily in the player's best interest? Is that in the game's best interest? Because you could then end up rushing players to the major leagues. Or what happens if you have a player that has Tommy John surgery in the minor leagues?
That's a good point.
Right?
That's
then true. You lose two years of development, and then the team's interest is, well, his clock's ticking, we're gonna lose control of him. Let's expedite his recovery. And I would like to think that teams would always defer and do what's in the best interest of the player, but the reality is not all teams operate that way, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure in professional sports to perform and succeed, and sometimes it's not always in the player's best interest.
It's a great point. I hadn't really thought about it from that angle. It is a good point. It's got to be fixed because it's not good for the sport for guys not to be in the big leagues when they're ready. Not that happens all the time.
And so
but
that point I can certainly understand. Now, how we address it and what makes sense and what provides the right – environment for both players and still makes sense for teams, that's where the nuance comes in, and that's why there will be a lot smarter people than me working to try to figure that out.
Oh, please, don't be so self-deprecating. There's not that many guys smarter than you. I don't know if there's anybody smarter than you, Chris.
There are plenty.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, obviously we got to ask you about the payroll. Listen, you guys, when you were 15, 16, 17, those years, 18, the payroll was, was reasonable, in my opinion. It was good. It was a good payroll. Obviously, last year, we know the pandemic factors in, but this season, the payroll is significantly lower than it's been in years past. Obviously, you've been cutting down the last couple of years. Can the fans expect at least some growth in the payroll in 2022?
That's my expectation, yes. I think there's a lot of backstory there. We could probably spend the next 20 minutes talking about how we got here and how that's different than the experience in a lot of small markets and just how competitive we've been over the past eight and nine years compared to, teams that are similarly situated and some of the tough choices that entails. But the short answer to your question is yes, my expectation is our payroll will grow in 2022.
And well, that's good. Obviously that's good to hear. And certainly, you guys have the best record in the American League since Terry Francona has been manager, and I believe the second best record in baseball behind only the Dodgers. So, yeah, the team has had a ton of success. But the fans, it's such a tricky situation because you guys have done a great job. You've built a lot of good players. You've built a lot of good teams. But the fans get frustrated, even though they will acknowledge that the team's been more good than bad, that their favorite players always end up leaving. You can understand that, right? That frustration.
I get that completely. Oh, yeah. Trust me. I build attachment to those players. And I think as I shared, you probably heard how emotional I was even this past offseason and trading Carlos Carrasco. Hey, I've got my oldest daughter is like a huge baseball fan and is like grown attached and actually has grown up in the environment and has relationships with a lot of these players. So trust me, it hits home for me too. It's personal. So. Yeah. To the extent our fans would feel that, I completely get it. I understand. Now, the thing I have to do, though, is would they rather have, would we rather have a few star players that are on our team, but not have the ability to build a championship team around them and have star players be on bad teams? And so what we work to do is try to have the best team we can and still develop and have star players. Now, does that mean they'll spend their entire career here? Sometimes that's not the case, but you know, we in the end feel like our primary responsibility is to try to do the best we can to build winning teams and try to win a World Series.
Are you surprised how rough a season Francisco Lindor's had?
I am, yeah, and I am surprised by that. I fully expected Francisco to go over there and continue to be the player that we grew to appreciate here in Cleveland. And in fact, my expectation is that that's going to happen. You know, that's going to happen moving forward. I mean, we've all seen great players have tough stretches, whether that was, you know, Jim Thome in the early 2000s, where he had a half season where people were starting to question whether or not he would hit, or more recently, look at the first half of the season for Jose Ramirez in 2019.
Yeah,
you know, great players have tough stretches, and I'm confident when we look back on Francisco's career, we're going to look back at 2021 as a tough stretch and nothing more than that.
You know, it's funny. Last thing, Chris, I saw you brought this up for Ramirez. I saw the stat. I don't know if you saw this earlier. I mean, you probably know it, but Jose yesterday when he hit the home run, became just the sixth player in the history of the American League to have 130 or more steals, 150 or more homers, and 200 or more doubles in his first 9 years with Reggie, Joe Carter, A-Rod, Ian Kinsler, and Mike Trout. Did you know that?
That specific stat I didn't know, but if someone was telling me that Jose Ramirez is an extraordinary player that's been one of the best and maybe underappreciated players in baseball over the last 5 years, that I would definitely believe.
Remarkable. So, it's remarkable. Did you have any clue he was going to be this good in the minors?
No, none of us. Nobody did. Anyone who says they did would be being truthful. And that's the reality. And that's why we try to have enough humility that we can't predict the future. Our job is to try to do the best we can and identify players that we think have some abilities and skills, and then provide the best environment, the best resources for them to take advantage of that. And sometimes they go on and become Jose Ramirez. And our job is to provide that environment for as many guys as we can. And then hopefully we have a lot of stories like that.
Chris, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks,
we really
Chris.
Appreciate it. Best of luck.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Chris Antonetti, the president of the Indians.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.